Good morning. Happy May 2nd to everyone. We're going to call a meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2019. It is just 8:30 a.m. We're in the Community Center at Sierra Room at 851 East William Street. Also streaming on the internet. And if you have cable TV, you're on the public access channel there. I think it's in the 190s somewhere. Could we have a roll call, please, to get started?
Good morning, Supervisor Giomi.
Good morning. I'm here. Thank you.
Supervisor Bonkowski. Thank you. Supervisor Bagwell.
Here.
Supervisor Barrett.
Here.
Mayor Kroll.
Also here. Thank you very much for making sure we're all here. Can we call on our good friend Bruce Henderson of the Airport Road Church of Christ? Bruce, get us started. How's Bailey doing?
Graduation college Saturday.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I'd like to begin by wishing everybody happy National Day of Prayer.
You bet. Good.
Every president since Harry Truman has signed a proclamation. It's now the first Thursday in May, and at 11 o'clock we'll be celebrating on the Capitol steps, and everyone is invited. You guys can take an early lunch today. I give permission.
Very good. Very good. We need that permission.
Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this very moment in our lives, especially for the privilege of prayer, to think that we can converse with the creator of the universe and the lover of our lives. Father, I'm appreciative for living in this beautiful valley. We thank you for this beautiful time of year, and I pray for these leaders, Lord, as they weed through lots of conversations and lots of opinions and lots of studies to make critical decisions. Please be with them in this. I especially today, Lord, am moved to pray for those in our community who are struggling. Some struggling with housing, some struggling economically, mentally, struggling with rehabilitation. Give us wisdom, give us compassion, and give us love. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Well said. All right. We have no flag?
Slayman is looking for it. We don't know where the flag is.
Well, let's do this. There is a flag right across this way at the library. We will all turn that way. Can't see it, but we'll say it. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, we got a flag. Okay. Boom. Oh, that's pretty good.
You took that off of the building. Has it been reported yet, Sheriff?
Would you stay up here and lead the Pledge of Allegiance while you're doing this? Come on up here.
Stay up here. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Jesus.
So you went out.
I didn't notice that. Somebody took our flag. I don't know. All right. Let's now move on to item number 5. This is public comment. The public's invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of this public body. We generally have public comment as we go through the agenda as well, and at the end. So anybody want to weigh in on early public? Sheriff, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. I'll weigh in because you guys are saving a whole lot of paper today. It's a short agenda. Yeah. I can talk as long as I want, right?
You can talk. Well, yeah, think about that one.
2.1. This is the lead-in to National Police Week. Nationally, May 6th, I believe it is, all the way to the 16th. Those events have already started here in Nevada. We bring the baton from Las Vegas with those fallen officers' names up to Carson City by relay foot race, if you will. They arrived here in Carson City yesterday. This board, as well as the public, is invited to the Peace Officer Memorial down on the Capitol Complex at 1 o'clock this afternoon, as all law enforcement agencies across the state will be honoring another name added to the marble down there. As well, tomorrow morning, at Idyllwild Park in Reno. The Hoff Memorial will honor those officers that were not only killed in the line of duty, but those who survived critical incidents. And as most of the public knows, we're very, very fortunate in this region. It was just 7 days ago when a homicide suspect out of the Bay Area entered into Nevada through the South Lake Tahoe. He was spotted. All of the law enforcement agencies throughout this area were responding to it when he shot an officer down in Douglas County. So we're very fortunate that he will survive and return back to duty. He is an officer who routinely worked here as a blessing from this board under the Tri-County Gang Unit. And so we wish him the best and invite everyone to attend the memorial services today as well as tomorrow.
Very good. So you can go to National Day of Prayer on the Capitol steps at 11. Grab a little bite to eat, cross the street, wherever it is. 1 o'clock, come pay our respects to those who've fallen in the line of duty or otherwise the peace officers.
Yes. And if I'm not, do you know when the fire memorial is moving?
October.
In October of this year? And it's just a good opportunity to jump on that. The Nevada State Fire Memorial will be moving to the grounds right across the sidewalk, if I'm not mistaken, down on the Capitol complex, shooting for October of this year. So
very good.
We're really looking forward to all of this.
Okay. Thanks, Sheriff. Thanks. Any other public comment? Anybody want to weigh in? Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Supervisors, I just can't hear you.
Yeah, push the button there, but there's a little. There you
go. I'm having trouble hearing you in the back, and I went to let people in the other.
We'll speak up.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? Were you able to hear the sheriff too, or just not me?
I have trouble, but I'll catch you later.
I'll yell at you later, okay?
All right. Yeah, sometimes that happens. So if somebody doesn't hear, you know, if you're having trouble hearing. That's not your fault. It's probably mine. So throw something at me. All right. Anybody else? Okay, then let's take up possible approval of the minutes of April 4th, 2019. Everybody had a chance to look at those? Motion's in order.
I move to approve the minutes of the Carson City Board of Supervisors for April 4th, 2019 as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Let's take up the agenda. Any changes that you know of?
No changes.
Pretty thin agenda today.
Yeah.
It's not that you're not doing anything, but there's a lot of pretty thin. But I think if we're going to pull item 10 from the consent agenda, so I'll say that right now, and move that to the regular agenda. There's some questions we just want to clarify on the record. So with that in mind, unless there's an objection, or the board members got anything more? We'll adopt the agenda as published with the exception of item 10 on the consent agenda, which we'll take up on the regular agenda. Okay. Let's, on special presentations this morning, we have two. And I thought, you know, that maybe on these two, Chief, and for our Cultural Commission folks, or the Historic Preservation folks, I'm going to read the proclamation from here because I want you to be able to talk about what it means. So the first one we're going to take up is a proclamation to recognize May as the Nevada Wildfire Awareness Month, and that proclamation reads as follows. Whereas wildfire significantly impacts Nevada's environmental, economic, and social well-being, and whereas residents of Nevada's fire-prone communities need to accept responsibility for living in high fire hazard areas, and whereas residents must prepare to survive wildfire by ensuring proper management of vegetation surrounding the home, and appropriate home construction and maintenance to resist ignition. And whereas residents must prepare to survive wildfire by practicing evacuation from their homes and communities. And whereas residents must prepare to survive wildfire by ensuring good access in and out of their community for emergency responders. Now, therefore, I, Robert Kroll, Mayor of Carson City, on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, support May 2019 as Nevada Wildfire Awareness Month. And this year's theme, Wildfires Happen. Is your community prepared? As a means for education and a call for residents of Carson City, our very own community, to take action to reduce the wildfire threat and prepare their homes, families, and communities for wildfire and stay prepared throughout the year. Chief, you want to say a few words about these things? Come on up. Let me take this down and give this to you.
So I'm going to pass the initial baton to Jamie and let her introduce herself.
Here's a proclamation, Jamie.
Oh, thank you. So thank you to the Board of Supervisors for the proclamation. We greatly appreciate it. For the record, my name is Jamie Royce Gomes, and I am the manager of University of Nevada Cooperative Extension's Living with Fire program. And so wildfire can threaten Nevadan communities and impact homes and property and even human lives. And so the key to minimizing wildfire impact in Nevada are proactive communities that take the steps to prepare for wildfire. In response, representatives of Nevada's local, state, and federal firefighting agencies, wildfire-prone communities, as well as University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, have banded together to promote the wildfire awareness message since 2006. And just as Mayor said, that our message is actually, wildfires happen, is your community prepared? And so some tips for residents to reduce the threat of wildfire are: consider replacing your wood shake or shingle roof for a Class A fire-resistant type, such as metal, composition, or tile. Keeping the first 5 feet of your home free of combustibles. That includes wood, mulch, dried leaves, or pine needles. And in its place, using things like pavers, rock, some sort of plant with high moisture content. And then residents can designate a safe area in their community. Examples include like ball fields or irrigated pastures or even a parking lot. So if they have to, they can wait out the wildfire in that area. One good tip is actually packing a go bag that's easily accessible. And I have bags for everyone. This actually has a list of items that you can pack for an evacuation. So you have this go bag packed, and if you do have to evacuate, you can just grab it quickly and then leave safely. And so during the month of May and all year long, we encourage communities to prepare for wildfire. And to learn more, people can visit the website livingwithfire.info. Thank you.
You know, Jamie, I want to thank you for that. And Chief, I know you got some words too. The fire in Paradise, California, you know, I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and probably everybody knows this probably, but, you know, that was burning, the wildfire burning 2 to 3 football fields a minute. It's unbelievable. There's no time to move. I mean, if you haven't done defensible space around your home, it's too late when those things hit. Chief, sorry.
Very well said, Mayor, and that's kind of the topic I wanted to talk about, or just shortly, is the partnerships. And it preventing the wildfires from starting and certainly reducing the risk of their spread is about partnerships. And with UNR, with our fire department in Carson City, as well as the local fire agencies, and the third link of that is our community. And we have a very proactive prevention program within our community in Carson City. We get into our neighborhoods on a daily basis. We're willing to do free inspections of your home. If you learn in the live in the wildland urban interface area, we have a dumpster program available if you live in the urban interface area, so you can clear your pine needles, dead brush, and any other low-hanging debris. We'll provide recommendations on how to make your home a little bit more fire safe, and that's what it's all about. There are not enough firefighters on duty to prevent a horrible fire spread and windy conditions, as we saw in Paradise the year before, in Santa Rosa. We saw it in Redding this last year. No matter how prepared your community is, wildfire can impact everybody.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to get an inspection done, do they contact you, Chief, or Jamie at Cooperative Extension?
They can contact us directly at the Carson City Fire Department. If you go to the Carson City webpage and click on the fire department link, call our main line number, and we'll put you in touch with the right people.
Good.
And I actually have to add, Carson City Fire does an excellent job. I am always impressed, and I'm very thankful to work with Carson City Fire.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay. All right. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
Where should I put these?
Put them. Give them to the city manager there for a minute.
Yes,
because I don't know if they're enough for all my stuff, but that's all right. All right.
Your go bag.
My go bag, yeah.
Big go bag.
Next, let's take up item 8, Bravo. This is recognized the month of May as Historic Preservation and Archaeological Awareness Month. And I know, Hope, you're going to do these. Michael is. Let me read the proclamation first from here, and then you folks take it over. This is a proclamation recognizing Historic Preservation and Archaeological Awareness Month, May 2019. It reads as follows. Whereas historic preservation and archaeological awareness are effective tools for managing growth and sustainable development, revitalizing neighborhoods, fostering local pride, and maintaining community character while enhancing livability. And whereas historic preservation and archaeological awareness are relevant for communities across the nation, both urban and rural, and for Americans of all ages, all walks of life, and all ethnic backgrounds. And whereas it is important to celebrate the role of history in our lives and the contributions made by dedicated individuals in helping to preserve the tangible aspects of the heritage that has shaped us as a people. Now, therefore, I, Robert Crowell, Mayor of Carson City, do hereby proclaim May 2019 as Historic Preservation and Archaeological Awareness Month, and call upon all of us to join their fellow citizens across Nevada in recognizing and participating in this special month of observance. Let me give this to Michael. You want to come get that? And then who's going to take over here? Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, I'm Mike Drews, Chairman of the Historic Resources Commission, and thank you, Mayor Bob, for that proclamation. This is ties in with National Historic Archaeological or Historic Preservation and Archaeological Month as well. And here in Carson City, we really do celebrate our history. We've got a vibrant historic district. We've got historic properties scattered throughout the city, as well as down at Stewart. And it's just important to remember that it's a big part of our community, and we need to maintain it daily almost. And this is just one way we could do it. As part of Archaeological Awareness or Historic Preservation and Archaeological Awareness Month, we do our annual Historic Preservation Awards. These awards really do embody the spirit of this proclamation. They're for properties and people within Carson City who have gone out of their way to maintain their property and really add to the historic character of the city. So, Mayor, if you'd come down, we can
let's
those awards.
Let's all come down here, then.
Okay.
Not just me. Come on, guys. Let's go down.
Okay, our first award goes to 301 West 4th Street. Patricia Crane is the owner. This is the Patrick Sanger House. It used to be Bob Herman's law office. It's beautiful. It's kind of a unique style in Carson City. We don't have many properties that are bungalow style. It's been impeccably maintained through the years. Patricia can't be here today, but when she was when we informed her that she was selected for one of the historic properties, her comment was, "It's fun to be part of the neighborhood and have a nice garden." So we'd like to thank Patricia for her care of this house. She bought it 6 years ago, and it continues to be one of the nicest properties in Carson City. Our next property is, Paula, can you come up? This is 138 Rice Street. Paula Cannon is the owner. It was built in 1936. Oh, I'm sorry, 1876. Yeah. Yeah.
1875. Here, hold on. Here. No, I'm just kidding.
This is
1875 around there?
1876. $700 for the house and $100 for the furniture.
What was that?
1876.
Wow, everybody hear that?
Everybody want to go back to those tax rates?
But this property is on the east side of Carson. It's one, there's a couple of properties on Rice Street. It begins with the Foreman Roberts house. Yeah, that was moved here. But there's some beautiful properties on the east side of Carson City that we really don't recognize much. Everybody looks to the west side and the trees and sees that as our historic district. There's a lot more to it. And we want to really work with the east side property owners and bring them into all this, because this is a beautiful place. If you look at some of the older photos of this house, anyone who's ever read Old House Journal, the last page has a remodeling photo. This house was muddled. It had an enclosed front porch. The concrete steps actually remained, and they put a side stairway on it. It's really been turned around, and it's a beautiful property. Thank you, Paula.
Paula, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there are some people that should be, or companies that should be also in this award. Anderson Heating and Cooling is one, because when I arrived in September 24, 1994, there were two gas wall panels, neither of which worked.
Oh.
And Anderson put in the very first furnace the house had ever had in 1994. Woodworking specialties should be recognized. They, in conjunction with architect Darney, did the design for the new sunroom, what I call it, and the porch entrance and such. Woodwork Specialties has redone the entire downstairs, which isn't part of this, but it is making my house more comfortable.
Sure.
So I appreciate it all. And I have several friends here who emotionally help me through it all. When you have your clawfoot tub in the dining room for a little over a month, you need some support. So yeah. I like those friends. Thank you.
All right. Can we get your friends in here too?
Well, that would be perfectly all right with me if they wish to come.
Anybody want to get in the picture?
If they wish to be acknowledged as a friend of mine.
All right. All right.
First Sue. Yeah.
Pretty tough. Let me get
Sue. Is that Jed beside you?
Yeah, Jed's there.
Yeah, Jed. Susan and Jurgen.
Yeah.
Come on.
Susan, she's been shaking.
She's taking pictures. Okay. Okay, come on, Susan.
Susan.
Jed.
Come get in the picture.
Okay. Get the gang here,
he
said.
Yeah.
Didn't see.
Come on, Jed.
Didn't see.
I'm halting up here.
I know.
Coming in hot.
All right, thank you, Rachel.
Okay. Jurgen's coming.
Yeah, Jurgen's coming.
One more.
It's good. We'll just have one year.
Yeah. I don't know. He can stand on the other side of Mr. Drew's.
Safe place.
Got enough there? Can you see us all, Rachel?
Yeah.
All right.
That's very nice. Yes, this is nice. Yes.
All right. Hey.
Appreciate being here.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Yes.
Haven't seen each other for 48 hours.
Yeah. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Paul. Jed. Just stay up. Our next award goes to the property at 410 North Carson Street. Belongs to Douglas Development Company. It was built in 1890. The original, in 1980, we did an architectural survey, and the results came back that it was a nice property, but there was some brick facade that was added. There were a lot of modifications. They said the property is considered eligible to the National Register, but it could use some improvements. The downtown redevelopment incentives actually provided those improvements, and what we have now is a real beautiful
structure. It's one of the, I think it's one of the nicest rehabilitations in downtown Carson City. And it really does look great.
What a great town, right?
Thank you for all your work on that building. It really is is beautiful.
We just had use
this.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, I guess
go.
Okay. That's okay. It was all there. We just had to peel back the siding that was on the front of it, and the steel or the cast iron columns were behind that T111. And we just kind of followed the lines that the original architect did. And so the building did itself, and we just threw money at it.
It was beautiful. You know, I think some of the, was that where Burger's newsstand was in that building?
Right next door.
Yeah.
It used to be the right where the facade was Burger's, and it became Andy's Smoke Shop. And before that was Sportsman's Corner on the other corner, and it was the Central Bar.
So it was a globe.
A lot of things. And behind that other facade is much like his building there.
Okay. Wow. Well, it's pretty nice. We want to thank you for your investment.
Well, thank you.
That's wonderful. You can take this. We're going to get some pictures up here. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Right.
We're almost there.
Our next award goes to someone we all know in Carson City. I can't say enough about Karen Aboud. She gets it. As she and Charlie own an historic building in Carson City, they know what it's like to keep one up and try to rehabilitate it after a fire now. As a design professional, she understands how pieces come together to keep an historic community whole. And as a citizen and past board member, she really recognizes the value of an intact and authentic historic district and downtown business historic district. So we just want to recognize Karen. I know Jed wants to say a few words for her contribution to historic preservation in all the years she's been in Carson City.
Well, it's all the award winners, I can't thank you enough. Karen and Charlie know what it's like just to keep it up, and now they're going through what the Historical Society went through last year. And it's people like Karen and Paula Cannon. Paula has almost single-handedly kept the Carson City Historical Society moving through its paces over the years and just kept it flowing. And for owning two historic properties myself and knowing what goes into them, unfortunately, I found a fire from 1882, and I'm sorry for the abouts to find it in 2019. But thank you all so very much for enhancing our city, and Karen, especially for you, for what you've done on the board, the facade improvement program, with all this stuff, the Board of Supervisors and Supervisor Aboud, we couldn't have done it without you.
Just one quick word. If you see something beautiful in our community, odds are that Karen Aboud has had a hand in making it beautiful. All right. Karen, this is for you. Come on up.
Just one more thing. As part of Historic Preservation Month, we've been doing our scavenger hunt for the last 10 years. This year, we've changed it up a little bit. We were going with historic architectural details and people that have to identify them. This year, we have 20 questions There's questions pertaining to Carson City history and events in this pamphlet. It's an activity that families, individuals, everybody can participate in. There's a $50 gift certificate to the Foxbrew Pub for the winner. It's fun. I think all the supervisors have one of these. There's some on the back table, I believe. Take them, look around Carson. If you have ideas for more questions next year, give them to community development and we'll get them in here. It's a new take on kind of an old tradition. We hope everybody participates.
Very good. We're done? No more? All right. Let's sit down here, board. Hang on, we're going to get one more picture. We're going to have the fire folks come back up since we're here. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Good to see you, man. Well done.
Jamie, everybody come on up.
Great idea.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, you get in the middle. I'm going to
use your phone. Let's hit you up. I'll try to be it. Hope Sullivan, planning manager. For the benefit of anybody who may be watching on TV, the scavenger hunt can be accessed at carson.org/hunt. So we hope everyone will participate. You can submit answers online or in person. And we do have the $50 gift card, thanks to Jim Phelan at the Fox Brew Pub. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Hope. All right. Let's now take up the consent agenda. As I said, we'll move item 10 off. So if everybody's okay with the consent agenda with what's left, motion's in order.
I move to approve the consent agenda consisting of items 9A and 9B.
There's a motion and a second. On the motion, discussion, hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay. Let's now take up item number 10. Who's going to do this? Carol? Good morning. All right. Tell us what's going on here.
All right. Good morning. Carol Akers, Purchasing and Contracts. This is for discussion and possible action regarding determination that Armat Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and awarding contract number 1819-208 Fifth Street Prison Hill Trailhead Projects to Armat Construction LLC for a total not to exceed amount of $120,000.
Hang on a minute. Can you hear in the back? See, that's what I thought. Carol, can you get it up closer to your
I sure will.
Yeah,
I feel like I've done this before. It's deja vu.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'll start over. Discussion and possible action regarding a determination that Armat Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and awarding contract number 1819-208 Fifth Street Prison Hill Trailhead Project to Armat Construction LLC for a total not to exceed amount of $120,050.96.
Very good. Okay.
And this is budgeted.
All right. Tell us the nitty-gritty.
Okay, so for the record, Greg Bergeron, Trails Coordinator, Parks, Recreation, and Open Space.
Right.
I know that Supervisor Bonkowski had asked in an email about the amount of money that 218 would be supplying for this. And if you look at the staff report in the very last page, there's a spreadsheet. And the second column is the estimate. So right now the estimate for the project is $251,000. And the project has items that are include more things than are in the this contract with RMAC Construction. So I'll explain that the project in total is to redo the trailhead on the north end of Prison Hill at the Fifth Street or near the Fifth Street roundabout. Trailhead's in very bad condition, so this project will fix the parking area, fix the drainage. It's going to add a restroom, add a covered picnic shelter, and do some improvements to the trails at the north end of Prison Hill. Anyway, the current estimate for the complete project is $251,000. And as you can see in column two, we have a recreational trails program grant that right now would be, well, it's the grant is for up to $200,000. And right now, with the current estimate, the grant would cover about $188,000. The city is providing a 25% match, so our match would be about $57,000 in out of the Q18 funds, and then we've got about $5,500 in-kind contribution, which is mostly staff time.
Okay. Listen, want to clarify anything?
No, that was great. I just wanted to have all of that read into the record because we're approving a contract for $120,000 that's coming out of city money, but a large portion of that will be reimbursed. So I just wanted to get that on the record.
Any other comments or questions from the board panel? I don't see any. You know, this is it's a reminder of the vision and foresight some folks had in 1996 when they passed the open space measure. It's a good deal. Thanks. All right. Go.
I just wanted to comment. Thank you very much for bringing the spreadsheet when we have contracts that we're approving where it's not the entire project. It's very helpful to bring the project back to its total. So I really appreciate that you are bringing us the spreadsheets, and I think that'd be a wonderful tool for any other project that's a partial process. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Any public comment on this issue? Board? Anybody want to make a motion?
I got it. Move to determine that RMAC Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and toward contract number 1819-208, Fifth Street Prison Hill Trailhead Project to RMAC Construction LLC for a total not to exceed of $120,050.96.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing and seeing none, all in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Are we ready to take up the CDBG stuff right now? Okay. Let's move to item number 12. This is discussion and possible action regarding the final appropriation for community development block grant funding for the fiscal year 2020. I've got some disclosures to folks here. When we go down, we'll start over there with Mr. Supervisor Jomi.
All right. NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from voting when I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private commitment, I serve as an unpaid board member of RSVP, a private nonprofit organization. RSVP has applied for CDBG funding under this item. Additionally, I'm employed by Nevada Health Centers, which also applied for CDBG funding under this item. In these private commitments, I have a fiduciary duty to RSVP as a board member, and I have a substantial and continuing business relationship with my employer, Nevada Health Centers. Although the recommended funding amounts under this item are submitted by the application review work group without my involvement, this board may choose to accept, deny, or modify those recommendations because the judgment of a reasonable person in my position would be materially affected by my relationship. I will not be voting on this matter.
Okay. Supervisor Bonkowski.
NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from participating when I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private commitment, I am a partner in the real estate brokerage firm NAI Alliance, Carson City. In that capacity, I am also the employer of a person who is a member of the application review work group tasked with ranking and evaluating the proposed project applications for funding purposes. Although I have not discussed with my employee her actions with the work group or what their recommendations are, I feel that this matter may be affected by my employer-employer relationship and therefore constitutes a disqualifying conflict. Therefore, I will not participate or vote on this matter.
Supervisor Barra. Numero uno and duo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of and abstain from participating when I have a disqualifying conflict. My wife works for the Governor's Office of Economic Development to administer rural counties' housing and urban development funding for the state-administered CDBG program. The matter before us today is not affected by my relationship, according to our attorney, and therefore is not a disqualifying conflict, and under his guidance, I will participate and vote on the matter.
Any other disclosures before we run out of board members?
We'll make some, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's now go directly to the agenda item. Let's take up item 12. Who's going to start? Go.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Miriam Argabrich, Grants Administrator, and with me here to the left is Sherry Russell, Chief Financial Officer. This is to approve the Community Development Block Grant funding for fiscal year 2020 as recommended by the Application Review Work Group and subject to approval of the fiscal year 2020 budget. Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Application Review Work Group and the applications that we received. Carson City received 5 eligible CDBG applications, 3 public service program proposals, and 2 facility improvement project proposals. The total amount requested of the 5 applications is $550,000. The $550,000 is without consideration of the 10% Carson City administrative fee. The amount received for CDBG fiscal year 2020 is $470,532, so not quite the $550,000 that we needed. A 5-person application review group read, reviewed, and scored the applications. In addition, the application review work group held a public meeting on March 26, where the applicants had the opportunity to answer questions from the application review work group. Based on the CDBG guidelines, Carson City priorities, and the amount awarded, all recommendations were established by the application review work group. In the public service category, the requests are as follows. The top application was Ron Wood Family Resource Centers. They requested $50,000. The application review work group recommended, based on what we received, $32,000. This is a first-time application submission for the chronic absentee program. The overall objective is to help provide services to children and their families in order to keep children in schools. The program targets students who are struggling with truancy. So, the second application is the RSVP Veteran Services and Support Program. They requested $15,000, and the recommendation from the application review work group is $7,500. This program was funded by CDBG in fiscal year 2018 for $8,277. The program was not funded in 2019, but in order to be eligible for the 2020 funding, RSVP had to increase the number of veterans that they serve from 75 to 150 veterans, which is a qualifiable increase and makes the program eligible for CDBG funding. This program assists senior veterans with transportation, wellness checks, socialization, respite care, companionship, a homemaker if needed, individual emergency response, and suicide prevention awareness. The third application in this category was Nevada Health Centers. Their request was for $23,000, and the application review work group made a recommendation of no funding at this time. The request was for telemedicine card, which would allow school nurses at Carson High and Empire Elementary to provide healthcare services directly between students, parents, and providers from the school nurse's office. The application review work group did not make the recommendation. There was quite a few concerns, but the top three concerns are as follows. At this time, there is no track record or data in Nevada for this program to determine if this pilot program would be successful. Number two, no letter of support or understanding was given if the nurses in either school supported the program and or would be more overwhelmed by adding this job responsibility onto their regular job duties. Number three, at this time, there is not enough information or experience with healthcare services being provided on campuses, potentially without parents being present. There is a huge concern regarding liability and if that liability would be imposed onto the school and school districts. So those were the three top concerns. In the public facilities improvement category, the requests are as follows. Carson City Public Works for the Airport Road Project requested $275,000, and the Application Review Work Group recommends $227,979. This is an ADA-compliant sidewalk construction reconstruction project to include improvements on curb ramps, additional sidewalks, and a bus reconstruction on Airport Road, bus stop reconstruction on Airport Road. And the last project, or the last application, is the Roscoe Park ADA restroom renovation project. The Parks District or Parks Department requested $187,000, and the application review work group recommended $156,000. This is the second phase of a multi-phase project. This phase two of the project will include an ADA renovation of the men and women's restroom to include removal of existing physical barriers and to create access routes from the existing parking lot and the new playground to the restroom. After discussion with the Parks and Recreation staff, the application review work group agreed that the exterior building facade improvement, which came up to $31,165, could be removed from this request without compromising the project. So those were all the applicants. And do you have questions at this time?
And what? And so the split, you're okay with it, between public ones and non-public ones, you're okay with all that?
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about the split. So the maximum, a minimum of 65% must be spent for public facilities, and we are at 82% for this grant, for the CDBG grant. 10% is allowed for planning and administration, which we will take in terms of our administrative fees. And then 15% is allowed for public services, and we're at 8%. So that is the cut, the 15% and the 65%, we hit.
So. Okay. Before we go to board comments, let's take some public comment if anybody's got, wants to weigh in. Anybody? I see smiles back there, so somebody must be. Okay. All right. No, board members? I got to look this way.
Yeah. Don't look to the
right. Don't.
Flip it on.
Yeah.
So I really want on the record an understanding, because we've had some issues in the past when you do the public services, that they then next year won't be eligible for the grant funding. I think it's important that they recognize that, because it concerns me. The RSVP program is an expansion, so they are already doing that service, so that one doesn't, bothers is not the right word. The chronic absenteeism, giving them $32,000, but then there's no funding for next year. And I just want that on the record.
That is correct to a point. So, an agency, a nonprofit agency, is eligible for 2 years of CDBG funding, and after the 2 year for the same program, and after the second year, they are not eligible unless they increase their services. Then they are eligible again, or if it is a new program.
New program, right? Yeah, I just really want to put that on the record, so that. That's the problem with starting new things that aren't a one-time allocation. it's an ongoing program, so it was just important that I put that on the record. So
sure.
There's no surprises or whatever later where they're looking for us to fund it. Thank you.
Supervisor Barrett, John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just quickly want to say that there might be some confusion on a previous matter involving CDBG. I did abstain even though I said that I was pretty certain that I didn't have a conflict, but it was involving a park where my wife and I take our dog quite regularly. This is not involved. And my wife administers a CDBG program for the state in rural counties, and sometime back, I struggled with this at first, but sometime back it was handed back to Carson City, so she's not involved in this in any way. I just want that on the record. Thank you.
All right. We ready for a motion? Anybody? Final chance. Okay. Supervisor Bagwell, let's go. We'll see what we can get, three of us.
Okay. I move to approve the Community Development Block Grant funding for fiscal year 2020 as recommended by the Application Review Work Group.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We have three ayes, two abstain. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you. Let's now take up item 13. Thank you very much. Good work on the CDBG stuff. Good to tell your work group. Well done.
Thank you.
And you were very articulate this morning on what the rules are. On mark. That's all right. All right. All right. Don't know any of these folks. All right, we're now going to take up item 13. This is discussion and possible action regarding approval of the Cultural Commission's fiscal year 18-19 annual report and the fiscal 19-20 work plan. Mark, Mr. Salinas, you going to do this?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mark Salinas, Arts and Culture Coordinator, for the record. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm just going to a little footnote here before Chair Dineo reads her report. This is our third time here in front of you, or at least my third time here in front of you. The first time was 6 months into my job at the Visitors Bureau. Second time was 1 year into my job at the Visitors Bureau. And this is my third time 1 year into my job under the city manager's office. I'll let Chair Dineo take it from here. And as I sort of made a tradition, being that I'm the sort of the new entity here, I've also made this my annual report for the Board of Supervisors and for the general public. And the report that we're sharing with you today has also been shared locally to business owners, the DBA, the chambers, as well as state arts and culture agencies.
Very good. Thanks.
Good morning, all.
Go.
For the record, I'm Barbara Dineo, current chairperson for the Cultural Commission. And this is the report from the commission into consensus. The Cultural Commission now stands at 7 members representing an expanded diversity in age, gender, artistic interests, and public representation. Attendance at regularly scheduled meetings exceeds the 75% attendance requirement. Commissioners have increased their participation in community artistic events, helped plan the Commission's 10th year anniversary luncheon, and supported art programs in the Carson City community and beyond. Public attendance at our meetings has increased each year, with several new artists and cultural organizations in regular attendance. Carson City's arts and culture organizations continue to grow. We have experienced a significant increase in applications for redevelopment grant funding of arts and exhibitions in our downtown. We're grateful for the opportunity to make recommendations upon the $25,000 grant that the redevelopment allocates for funding. We're concerned that with the increasing numbers of qualified applicants, we will need to address the need for increased funding. We need your input and hope to further discuss this year. We're highly supportive of Mark's strong efforts to reach all sectors of the Carson community. He has brought Carson City's diverse cultural and artistic talent to the attention of state and even national organizations. He has successfully worked to increase awareness of our diverse and talented artists among our youth, nonprofits, the Native American community, and the Latino cohort of Western Nevada College. His report will address this work today. As Mark approaches the 2.5-year milestone working with the Commission, we and the community are still impressed with his abilities to bring our artistic community to the forefront. The transition of Mark's position to the city has been smooth and much appreciated. This has been a very positive for his interactions with a myriad of other city, state, and national organizations. The newspaper headline, quote, Carson City Earns a Spotlight, unquote, describing the Reno Tahoe Airport exhibition is testament to the work inclusive of so many Carson City artists. We are grateful for Mark's efforts. He accomplishes an enormous amount as a one-person department. Among his daily arts programming, he also spearheads the Biennial Arts Advocacy Day at the Nevada Legislature, and this year, a first-time arts advocacy post-party, which drew art students, administrators, and professionals from all over Nevada. To keep momentum, we believe he needs dedicated support in staffing. As we look at the 2019 direction and goals, we realize the 1% art funding is due to expire in 2021. Already 2.5 years of the 5-year sunset clause has passed, and with so many accolades and new accomplishments for the city, it feels we haven't even started yet. Clearly, the Cultural Commission, Carson City, and the state benefit from a Department of Arts and Culture. We are eager to research the 1% art funding and see how it can be sustained and augmented for future growth. We are eager to research and discuss where we are headed and how we might get there together. A first-time commissioner retreat is suggested for sometime in July, to which you're all invited, where our discussion may include business and local community financial opportunities for support via public arts or grants. Advanced removal of the 1% art funding sunset clause would be the first step in retaining our upward growth momentum, provide a long-term safeguard for creative community development, encourage cultural tourism, and satisfy the Carson City Strategic Plan 2016 to 2020, which specifies quality of life and community as a key strategic direction with an objective to, quote, engage arts and cultural assets, unquote. It's been a wonderful year, and we thank you, the members of the Board of Supervisors, for your support of the arts and culture in Carson City. Finally, the Cultural Commission congratulates Sharon Ross, who is here, from the Capital City Arts Initiative, and Mark Salinas, both of whom have recently received awards from the Nevada Humanities. Sharon's Friend and Champion of the Humanities Award, yay, and Mark's Humanities Rising Star Award makes our capital and our community proud. It's the first time in 25 years that Carson City has been honored with such awards, and it's an honor to serve as chair, and I thank you for your time.
Anything further, Mark?
Yes, sir. In the supporting material, I have a department overview and infographic to share with you. It's not only to provide clarity and learning about, you know, my strategy, but also establish the parameters and placement of what I'm doing. And I was careful not to use any art reference in putting this together. You'll see three core components or DNA that shows ongoing essential administrative tasks. Creation, education, and relation, where those three discs overlap is really what I see my task at hand being. Creation builds infrastructure and identity of our art department, our city, our capital, our community. It's constantly changing to reflect current needs. Education is the information of our artists, our collection, our organization, events, our grants. Finally, relation is the awareness, the dialogue of our community partners. It's sharing awards and honors with the community. It's alerting them to our inclusive practices, and it's celebrating historic milestones. On the next page, you'll see 22 examples of efforts in each one of these three categories. And I'll note that last year, none of these 22 examples existed. Of course, as part of the Cultural Commission Charter, we're tasked with reporting on attendance. We have changed over the years, meeting quarterly to meeting 6 times a year, and at times with special meetings, 133% attendance among all
cultural commissioners. Not only do we have attendance on this side of the table, but also behind us, the audiences have doubled over the years. These are people who are wanting to share information and be a part of Carson City's footprint. It was interesting to have historic preservation here this morning because I think it's important for any city to acknowledge its past, but also be working towards its future. And last year was our 10th year anniversary of our cultural commission. I used that opportunity to reach out to every cultural commission in the past 10 years and invite them to a luncheon sponsored by our local coalition at Bliss Mansion. A few of you were there. And it was a great opportunity to put past and present together towards the future. Later on this month, the Cultural Commission is going to be ironing out a draft Celebrate Culture grant within our Arts and Culture Master Plan. We're tasked with supporting ethnic-centric opportunities to celebrate our African-American, our Hispanic, our Basque, our Native American, our Asian populations. I think this is a good opportunity to allow support for individuals and organizations to make Carson City events. Later the same month, we're going to be reviewing our redevelopment grants. That's an annual pleasure that we have. Of course, those have increased 175% our applications over the years. I'm proud to say that our cultural commission really is, I think, the most diverse it's been in a while. We have the youngest cultural commissioner in the state, municipal cultural commissioner in the state of Nevada. For the first time in 10 years since 2008, we have the first Latina on our cultural commission. We have the first Native American in our cultural commission. And I don't need to tell anyone here in this room how important those cultures are here in Carson City. I'm happy to have them on our board to invite more of a cross-section of the community to our meetings. I want to thank Rachel Snyder for incredible help on putting our arts information on our Carson City website. That includes our policy, our procedures, our how to take a part of our conversation where, when and where we meet. I'm also trying to advertise what we do. So you'll see our Facebook followers and promotions that I put out, not only for items that we do here in Carson, but our neighboring communities, speaking engagements. Silver City's Town Advisory Board reached out to us wanting to expand their footprint, and they're our new sister city in the arts, so they invited us there in November for a ceremony, and some of the artwork that you'll see now in City Hall, that's up, are pieces from the Silver City's art collection, many of which are the same artists that are in the current collection of the UNR's new Lilly Museum on display right now. I'm speaking with the editor of Reno News and Review to make sure that he includes Carson City as under the category of best special events. I've noticed over the past 8 years, Reno, Sparks, Virginia City, and South Lake were all included, but a lot of those events that the public is allowed to vote on are the same events that we have here, if not better. So looking forward to seeing our name for that free publicity in that periodical. In April, I introduced six chapters of draft public art policy to the Cultural Commission that will make its way around to other municipal department heads. Within the past year, I was able to collaborate with 9 other departments, and I'm really interested in showing other departments how arts can be a tool already in existence. We just had our department head meeting yesterday at the fire department, and we all walked through the museum. The next statistic here is, with Rachel's help, last August I was able to celebrate National Arts and Humanities Month by doing interventions in 4 other departments, fire, library, senior center, and cooperative extension. It was an opportunity to sort of me to introduce myself to those department heads, but also discuss where art pre-exists. That was a fantastic opportunity because it allowed me to discover 300 paintings, oil paintings, that a local artist had donated to the senior center. I then put on my tool belt to install these with the help of some Carson High students. And the Senior Center was able to gain some publicity out of that as well. The Chambers recognized us with the best event of Carson City last year. I've been keeping track of organizations that I reach out to. It's at least a new organization every week. These are local organizations or state affiliates. This one of being the one of which is the Nevada State Museum. We partnered with them the past 2 years, but it was really this year that I was able to bring the Culture and Tourism Authority to the table as partners, Carson City High School as partners, a deeper relationship with WNC, of which one of our cultural commissioners is an employee there. And we had over 1,000 people there at this Dia de los Muertos event. I had already mentioned what I'm coining as a City Hall East Gallery. I personally installed 270 artworks. I tell people it's a tie one day and tool belt the next. And that includes works that were at...
Yeah, how'd you pick up the Mind of Da Vinci?
That was 2017, right?
All right.
That includes several works at WNC as part of our True Grit exhibition, which was a component of the National Endowment of the Arts grant that I won. It includes the works in City Hall, and includes works that we had here in the community center, the senior center, and, of course, at the airport. So I thank those in this room that were able to attend the Carson City Taking Flight exhibition at the airport. It was a tremendous success. I reached out to their marketing team. They gave us 200 linear feet of airport space 24/7 for 3 months. So you can put a number to what that might cost as far as marketing. My goal was to get art in front of our elected officials for the legislative session as they're coming in and out of the city. The strategic plan there was to make such an impression that they would invite us back on every legislative session year. And I'm happy to say, as I was deinstalling this show last week, that we're now booked for the next year, which I'm super, super excited about. And, the efforts that we make here locally and regionally have been recognized by the state and by the nation. Just taking a look at last year's work plan that I brought in front of this body, partial completion on the policies and procedures. This, of course, is where the master plan is a 14-page wish list of what we want to accomplish. It's not necessarily a how-to. It's not the user's manual. This is the user's manual that will explain the policies and procedures for the expenditure of taxpayer money in a transparent way. How do we select our art? What's the priority and where we place it? Who do we bring to the table in our public art panels to choose it? What's the process? What do you want to deaccession a work? Six of those seven chapters are in draft form. Dedicated priority in proposing amendments to the CCMC, the cultural commissions. I spoke to the DA's office when we were doing this. We took as I said before, the cultural commission met quarterly, and their staff liaison was from Parks and Rec, but to have someone dedicated full time, we took a closer look at it, and I believe now with DA's approval that we are now following the code. There was we wanted to make sure that some organizations that interpreted that they had an appointee, that those appointees, once they termed out, went in front of this board for reappointing purposes, and that's all straightened out. And I think that's why we have such a robust and diverse commission right now. If we want to turn the page, next year's work plans are pretty concise, as Chair Danao said. We want to put together a cultural commissioner retreat. I think we're all finding our new work as we go on. And I think, one never loses their DNA in reinventing themselves, but I think it's time that
we press the refresh button together and see what goals we the board, the commission wants to do. Manifest common understanding of how 1% for the arts in Carson City equals 1% for community vitality. And that's really going to become my slogan going forward. And I think some of these statistics, some of our partners, some of our recognition really show how what we're doing stimulates the community. I think everyone has their own definition of what art is, and I think everyone has their own self-judgment of how much they can be involved, or if they're an artist, or people seem to believe that to be an arts advocate, you have to know a certain amount of art. And I don't think that's true at all. But when you present it as community vitality and you look at the statistics that we've shown, I think everyone can sort of wrap their mind around what a thriving, healthy, economically vibrant community looks like, not only for residents, but also for visitors. And, of course, communicate long-term sustainability. We want to be a forward-facing. I want to be a forward-facing staffer here at Carson City. I know the commissioners here want to be forward-facing in embracing and maintaining and retaining some of the successes that we've made. And we are looking forward to bringing those organizations to the table that could make that happen. I could speak ad nauseum at these local statistics, but I also wanted to include some state and some federal statistics. These I can't speak to at as much of as great length because I'm kind of busy on the local stuff. But one thing I will point out, at the Nevada Arts Council, I'm a board member there, you'll see that the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis reports arts and cultural production contributed $7 billion to Nevada's GDP, and it's 4.7, or pardon me, it's 41,000 jobs. So thanks to Google, I looked up the population of Fernley, Elko, and Ely, and if you took those three cities together, that's how many arts and cultural jobs there are. Finally, on the last page are 10 reasons to support the arts. Americans for the Arts is the federal advocacy group for the National Endowment of the Arts. And there are some great stats that you can take away with you. Arts drives the creative industries. They have a social impact. They improve academic performance. Art unifies communities. It improves individual well-being. And so there's our report on the local state and a little local and a little state and a little federal perspective to put those statistics and that report into perspective into a larger content.
Very good. So before we get some questions, why don't you brag about yourself and Sharon a little bit? Because we were at a board meeting 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
And we all kind of wanted to get over there, but, you know, we were pretty thick in the
process. No, I understand.
Tell us the award you got. What you know? What's the criteria for that? And also, I know Sharon, you can come up and if you want to come up now, come on up.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The Nevada Humanities is a state agency under the National Endowment of the Humanities, which is a federal agency made by Congress in '65. They have a biannual awards ceremony where they recognize big people like her. And I was honored to be the newbie among this group. These were salty dogs. These were people who've been around Nevada a long time. And they...
Salty dog.
They...
dog. You're looking at one.
All right, Mark.
And... so there were 11 awards. Well, Sharon, you take it from here. I mean, really.
Sure. Well, it was an honor. I want to, with all due respect, correct Barbara a little bit. The award for was not for me. It was for Capital City Arts Initiative. Yeah, and we're in our 16th year, and our very first public grant came from Nevada Humanities. They really did get us launched, and they've been consistent funders over the years, and we're beyond grateful. But the award achievement was a partnership with CCAI's board, and especially with my board president, Glenn Clemmer. We're a team. He helps read grants and edits and reminds me that commas here. You said this four times. You need to. So we're a team, and so the award came to the organization. So we were honored. We were thrilled. And we really thank the city for all its support. You're a big part of our team, too. Thank you. Mark was Humanities added these Rising Star Awards, and they came up with one person when they were beginning to edit an award and couldn't stop at one, awarded four. So we're thrilled
of the awards that you got, and we're proud of putting Carson City on the map.
Well, thank you.
And you know, Mark, I don't know where they're going to put us next time in the airport, but you make a good point when they're legislators coming up, maybe not next year because there's no session, but maybe we want to get it, if we could, probably difficult, get the exhibit on the Southwest side, Southwest Airlines side of the, so when they get off there, because a lot of them don't take Concourse C, they all take B, but just something to keep in mind because that was a wonderful event in Reno.
Thank you.
For a long time, we've been kind of MIA in Reno stuff, but you know, that was a nice foray into showing what Carson City artists can do. And, you know, all of those things put a face on Carson City that some people may not really understand or know about, which is a big deal. And I want to also, before you go on, I want to say, you know, it impressed me that you've got, you know, new younger people on, not that you have to be young or old, but, you know, your attendance record on the Cultural Commission has been 100%, I think, actually more than that, I guess, which is great. So, you know, and the number of people you're getting in your meetings is also cranked up. It means that there's an interest in this community about arts and culture and what they mean for creating, as you outline says, one community with a sense of pride and a sense of place. So we do have some questions up here. I don't know who was first. Stacy, you want to jump in?
Sure. Thanks, Mayor. And congratulations to both of you on the award. And I want to start by complimenting you on, and I couldn't agree with you more in terms of the composition of the Cultural Commission and having that diversity. And you and I spoke several months ago, and you were excited about having a younger member on the board. And I think it's you're to be applauded as a group for welcoming that diversity, because I think that we oftentimes get focused on our own history, our own perspective, our own silos with our own blinders. And when you bring those that diversity to a group, that field of vision opens so much. So really exciting to have age diversity, ethnic diversity, and art diversity, whether it be performing arts or visual arts or vocal arts or whatever it may be. And I really encourage you to keep that up. And I guess my only other comment is from my perspective, I think a key for us here in this community tying things together between art and culture is the history we have in this community. And today was a perfect day, as you said, Mark, with the Historic Resource Commission. And we have some great history here. We have history that's attractive to people, Western history. It's attractive to people. And I think there's a natural tie between arts, culture, and that history. And I think that's really a direction that we should be going, because I think it embodies what our community is and what we have. And so congratulations, and thanks for listening to my ramblings.
Brad and John.
Maybe I'll just ramble a little more.
Please do.
I want to acknowledge, Mark, you and the part that you've played in putting Carson City on the map and really expanding the arts community here. It existed, but it was unorganized before you got here, and now you've kind of been the glue that have brought everybody together and made them play in the same sandbox together. So I appreciate that, and I just wanted to relate that I was in Las Vegas over the weekend, and You just made a point of speaking to random people, which made Andy really happy. But it's funny because I would tell people that I was from Carson City, and in every instance, and these were people that live in Las Vegas, I got, where exactly is that? So it's amazing to me that as the capital of the state, most of the state doesn't even know where we are. At least the legislators know where we are, if only because that's where the plane lands. So thank you for your part in helping to educate our residents of the state.
Very good. John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I echo the two gentlemen to my far right who say congratulations to Mark and to Sharon. And I want to commend Barbara for raising the matter on an early date regarding how the funding goes forward for this, because you all have put us on the map the way you have and coordinated art the way you have. I think it's good for us to talk about it. I do think, though, that it's probably next year's budget rather than this year's, but at the same time, you can't start talking too early. I am a huge arts advocate. In fact, my wife and I made a pact together that we would move to a Western community that had a symphony orchestra. And this was one of the few this size that had one at that time. The arts here has always been good, but as Brad said, you've kind of pulled it together. Stacy said that too. I'd like to see more funding, and I think we should discuss that. I do have a problem, and I will be honest about this. I have for 50 years watched government put sunsets on. I don't like them, but once you put them on, you have a commitment with a group of constituents who are involved. So I think we need to go and talk to the constituents involved in this, and I'm sure you're doing that. So I look forward to that discussion, and again, thank you very much.
Any other comments on the board? Public comment? Anybody want to weigh in back there? Neighbor, you want to weigh in? Sharon, go.
Thank you. I just wanted to echo what has been said. Mark has done an amazing job. If I had tried to write his job description before he came, he would have blown what I'd written out of water. He's done an amazing job, and everything you can do to secure this vital position for Carson City's important cultural environment will be, we're cheering you on and applauding all your efforts, and please help. Thank you.
Okay. All right. There's somebody, silent clap. That's permitted. That's good. Silent clap. All right. Anybody else want to weigh in? Board, are we okay? We'll take a motion to accept the report.
I move to accept the Cultural Commission Fiscal Year 18-19 Annual Report and the Fiscal Year 19-20 Work Plan as presented.
There's a motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing and seeing none. Whoop, wait a minute. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. I can see it up there now. Good. All right. All right. We're now done with the regular agenda. Let's go to item number 14, Board of Supervisors non-action items. Who's going to start? Want to do some legislative stuff first?
So I went over a lot last time, so I'm just going to go over, a few things. The ones that I talked about before that had passed, the one house have now just moved on to the second house. Some upcoming deadlines are May 17th. That's the deadline for committee passage in the second house. And May 24th is the deadline for passage in the second house. One that I just want to talk about is the SB 48, the NACO diesel tax. That will be heard on Tuesday, May 7th at 4 p.m. in Assembly Taxation. And NACO has requested for board members and other city staff to be present for that to show support for the bill. Another one I want to talk about, AB 345, that same day voter registration. That was declared an emergency measure under the Constitution and has been referred to Ways and Means. One that I'm not sure we've talked about that much is SB 207, and that's apprentices. This bill requires a contractor or subcontractor engaged in a public work to employ one or more apprentices for a certain percentage of the total hours of labor performed on a public work. This bill received Senate final passage and was referred to the committee on the assembly side. And our public works director testified in opposition as written because it would prolong projects and would require the city to administer the waiver process.
Wasn't that amended out, though? I thought I said that that was amended, so now it puts the onus on the contractor.
So the next thing is an amendment would shift the burden of the waiver onto the contractor and would require it be done during the pre-bidding process. Was the amendment approved or is that good?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I know that the proposed amendment was that it would be done pre-bidding process because otherwise it prolongs it. If it's during the bidding process, and then we're asking the Labor Commission to give a waiver. So we wanted that the burden be put on the actual contractors to go to the Labor Commissioner and ask for the waiver. And also for the process to begin pre-bidding process.
And for the record, the waiver that we're speaking of is for this not to apply in rural areas where there is no pool of apprentices available.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because that would be my concern, because if you're doing a public works project in Lander County or Eureka, you're not going to – there's no – yeah.
And let me follow up on the legislative stuff. Are you done with that? I'll talk about indigent defense when you get done.
Oh, okay. I just have one more thing. The AB 406, the Carson City Airport bill, that will be heard on Friday, May 2nd, tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the Senate Government Affairs, and I will be there to testify that Carson City supports that bill. And that's all I had.
On the AB 81 is the indigent defense bill. Legislation. I was, I sat on the Indigent Defense Commission that met over for the last year here. That bill is right now in Ways and Means. It was heard last night at 6 o'clock. There's a $15 million, $7.5 million tag per each year of the biennium. I don't know how that ended up last night, but we'll see. I will say just out loud here that the funding mechanism on this bill is pretty critical to the small counties, to the rural counties, because we're concerned that and it doesn't affect Carson City directly because we're with the State Public Defender's Office. But the rural counties are concerned that, they've been in this box before where all of a sudden you go down and you're doing your best you can for indigent defense, and then somehow the state wants to step in, and it all falls apart because we've got a big, long state. And it also falls apart because there's a funding issue. What AB 81 says, that in the whereas clauses, is that indigent defense is a function of the state of Nevada, not counties. But it's been devolved down to counties, as most of the things are, there. But so the money is there. They have to somebody has to justify it, obviously. But that level of commitment is important to the rural folks because it shows that the state is truly going to ink in on this and not just put a program out there and then say, okay, counties, you go fund it and you go do what you're going to do. We're going to create an organization that's going to tell you what you got to comply with. You do it. So we should be, AB 81, if it passes, will hold the level of indigent defense funding mostly where it is right now before they do these regulations, because when they put regulations in, it'll affect the state public defender as well, that they have to comply with this. But if there are extra costs, we should be getting paid out of those extra costs from the funds that are going to be allocated. So I don't know how it came out last night, but that's what's going on AB 81. So sorry to jump in there, but it does kind of touch on us. So anything else on when's first house pass? First committee passage is the 17th?
That's the deadline for the committee passage in the second house, May 17th.
Things are moving pretty quick. When's the Economic Forum report come out? Was that yesterday or today?
Yesterday.
Anybody got a nutshell on what happened there?
About the booth. Just 42.8 million budget boost, not expected to make a dent in big ticket legislative priorities.
It was pretty close to the original estimate.
Pretty close?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Usually they get a.
All right. Right. Anything else on the legislation? Let's take up. Got anything on any of the other items, City Manager or Deputy City Manager?
No.
All right. Let's talk about board comments. Anybody? Stacy?
Over the last week, ran into a longtime Carson resident, retired state employee who's been on the Reno Rodeo Foundation board for many years, Mike Torvinen.
Yeah.
And Mike is the president of the Reno Road Association, and this is their 100th anniversary. So he's the president on a, it might be a good story, and Carson resident is the president for the 100th anniversary of the Reno Rodeo, which is quite an accomplishment. It's late June. He gave me a pin to wear and encouraged folks to attend. But it's pretty cool for Mike that he gets to be the president. And the Reno Road Association does a lot of good in the communities in northern Nevada. The foundation does a lot to benefit kids in this area. And so I'm pretty excited for him that he gets to be the president on the 100th anniversary. I just wanted to pass that along because I thought it's a neat story for Carson.
You're going to do the refereeing story?
Are you?
Okay. So I spoke at a luncheon earlier this week, and Ann Knowles in the back here wrote an excellent article in the Nevada Appeal about some of my comments, and I know that she wrote an excellent article because I have received a significant amount of feedback from that article. And the gist of it was that that we have a need for about $15 million a year in basic road maintenance to maintain all the roads in Carson City, but we only have revenue of about $2 to $2.5 million a year. And I made a comment that that this year we are fortunate enough to have about a $7.5 million surplus, which we're investing into infrastructure projects. And even if we took every penny of that $7.5 million and put it into road maintenance, we would still have a $2.5 to $5 million shortfall just for this year. And this is an ongoing issue. I mean, the gap is so large between the revenue that we have and what we need to do basic maintenance. And I also made the comment that this is not a problem that we can solve at the local level, that it's a problem that has to be solved at the federal and state level. However, we look for ideas outside the box to try to put Band-Aids on and do what we can to help stretch our dollars. And I have been amazed at the number of calls and emails that I have received from a certain constituency that lives in this area that says, I don't want to pay. I just don't want to pay. And these are the same people that also call and email me to say, fix my roads. So I'm open to any ideas. So any of the people out there that don't want to pay for it but want me to fix it, you let me know.
Okay. Anybody here? Lori.
So we had our rifle range task force meeting yesterday, and the group pretty much has come up with recommendations that'll be coming forward to the board to approve, dealing with what we are calling an interim plan. We are getting ready to turn around the documents from Loomis to work really quickly on the bays, the pistol bays. So we look forward to trying to really move that project along and get partial opening of the range as quickly as possible, and then some interim ideas on what we can do with clubs and commercial.
Good.
And then we opened it two more nights, Wednesday and Thursday evenings, some more public time besides the Sunday. So I think the committee's working really hard. It's certainly a complex issue, but they're working hard to find ways to try and keep everyone safe and meet the needs. And I want to thank the park staff for working so hard and Loomis for delivering a little earlier on one of the plans where everyone's trying to drive it to the finish line. So anyway.
Yeah, jump in, sure.
Lori or Brad, on that committee, we talked in the budget about funding. We actually put some money aside for a match fund. Was the intention, and I don't see Jen here, but I'll ask you guys, what is the intention of that match fund and that subsequent grant for doing the work at the existing site or finding a new site?
Existing.
Okay.
So everything that we did
so
in the budget was existing.
So the money wouldn't be enough to do a new site, is that?
No. Right.
Okay.
Correct. Just everything that existed.
If I can add to that, though, part of the committee's work is to start working on a relocation plan now, knowing that the timeline is probably 10 years out.
Okay.
And would probably take every bit of that time. And,
to raise the funds.
and even to have the land and everything else.
Find the site and plan it out and make sure that everything works and find the money. There's also some legislation coming down the pike that's going to change the amount of match required.
Currently under the Pittman-Robertson fund that we do that hunters and everyone pay for on ammo and weapon purchases, they're trying to change the match portion from 25% to the current rule, but it looks like they're going to lower that down to 10% because there's a lot of money in that trust account. So they want to try and get it out into the communities because people didn't have the match. So that would help us tremendously.
So if we were able to use the entire $250,000 that we allocated as match, that'd be $2.5 million worth of grant funding.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to thank both of you. I still get emails, as I'm sure you do, about this. And I appreciate you being our representative on there because I know it's on the forefront of a lot of mine. So thank you both.
Let me echo that real quick before I go to John. I want to thank both the task force members and Supervisor Bagwell and Supervisor Minkowski for shepherding this through. It's not an easy issue to work through, but I think we're hopefully assuring folks, you know, we're doing moving as fast as we can to get that rifle range back open in a safe and safe manner. So, and we'll keep moving down that road. But I want to say thanks to you guys for doing that. And John, if I stepped on your toe there,
not a problem. But I am going to say the same. I want to thank you both. I want to thank all the people on that task force. I happened to be at my barber's yesterday, and he's my member on the task force, and he was telling me about what was going on, and it's really quite interesting. I'm really glad you're driving towards getting it back open in a safe manner. I also want to add that Brad's talk was written up by Ann. I wish Ann had been at Rotary the other day because Stacy was our speaker there, and he talked about this telemedicine thing. And could you share a little more about that? Because it's going to be funded by the health centers, even though it didn't go with the CDBG money.
I can. So it's funny to listen to that. Now I assume it's okay to talk about this since it's done.
Information.
Dan,
I think it's just information, Dan. Right. We're not.
I think Dan was taking a nap. He has no idea what we're talking about. That's okay. Anyway, the company I work for submitted the CDBG grant for putting telehealth carts in schools, and they had concerns and they didn't fund it because of liability concerns, and so I don't know what happened. I don't know if our company didn't do a great job of presenting or what, but the reality is we have since moved past that and we're doing it anyway. So we are putting telehealth carts in around the state of Nevada, probably close to 40 schools in cooperation with school districts. So we're doing 5 in Elko County, 2 here in Carson initially. Over the next 6 to 9 months, we'll do 22 in Clark County schools. And the goal is to have the school nurse present student illnesses to our providers via telehealth. And so the student who might be sick at school and normally have to leave school to go to a doctor's appointment gets to stay in school. So they get continued attendance. They get care when oftentimes if a parent comes to get a student, they don't take them to care because they either can't afford it or they don't have a physician, or they end up going to the ER. Now they're waiting until the kid is really sick. So we are doing that anyway. And so by August, we'll have them functional here in Carson schools.
I found that a fascinating and I think a wonderful program by your company. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Wait, anybody else? I got some stuff here to talk about, I guess. Been kind of a busy couple weeks here. One, next Friday, I'll be speaking on a national panel, the National Conference on Opportunity Zones in Las Vegas, along with the chairman of the Clark County Commission, the mayor of North Las Vegas, the mayor of Henderson, the vice chair of Washoe County. I'll be on a mayor's panel talking about opportunity zones and what it can mean for Carson City. I'm told there'll be a whole lot of potential investors down there. It's another chance to put us on the map, and it's one where I think it's important to make sure that they know that Carson City has an opportunity zone, is in the game. So I'll go down for that. It's not a very long one, but it'll be. We'll see what happens there. Yesterday, I had a meeting with many of you know they're at juvenile probation. There's an entrepreneur program for kids who have made a wrong choice, but there's an actual class that they can take in entrepreneurism. And yesterday I met with some graduates of that class. They are now, there were six or seven of them. They are now proud owners of two successful businesses in Carson City, Junk Brothers and Project Rehaul. And it's just wonderful to see young people who may have made a mistake at one point in time in their life, and some of these made a mistake a couple times in their life, that they're now active participants in the community and doing their best to, you know, they're all owners of these businesses, showing what it is to work, what capitalism is about, and, you know, what running a business is about. It was really, really proud of these young folks doing it. I want to say thanks to Allie Bannister and all the folks down there, Ryan Felix, who shepherd these things through. So I met with those guys, and we'll be putting out some stuff on that. Also yesterday, I met with the vice president of energy for Tesla and another person from Tesla. They would like to have a meeting with some of our public works engineers, just to, not for any particular purpose, but other than to talk about what is happening in the world of batteries and other things in the energy field, just to kind of see if there's ways where we can partner. You know, we're always looking for money. So I think we're going to see if we can arrange a meeting so our folks can just go chat with them for a couple hours, you know, and just talk about what's happening out there at TRI and what's happening in the energy world, particularly in batteries and the battery matters. They indicated that they would love to, Tesla has a project called Project Recharge for schools, where they help kids in both elementary and high school. They would like to come at some point in time and address the joint meeting that we have with the school board to talk about Project Recharge and if they can put it into our schools. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to get a good update on what they can do. At 1 o'clock today, as the sheriff said, there's the Fallen Officers Memorial. At 11, there's the National Day of Prayer on the front steps of the Capitol. I'm working with the Fallon Naval Air Station to see if we can get some jets to fly over this time for Nevada Day. So we'll see where that goes. Also happened to meet with the Hawkins Foundation when they came down to take a look at our community center, to see if, because the Hawkins Foundation is interested in recognizing Carson City as a potential grant recipient. And I think, you know, at the end of that meeting, they had a whole board down here. And they said, you know, told Jen Budge, put your wish list together because we're interested in helping out. So, you know, we're making moves down that way as well. Just a lot of things happening in our community. And so today we should all take, you know, go over the National Day of Prayer and then we'd hang around or have a little bite to eat. And then 1 o'clock go think about what it means to be a public safety officer in our state. Okay, that's about it. Anybody got anything else?
Sure. I think for potential, maybe a future agenda item. I had a meeting with Waste Management, the regional director, earlier this week, and I want to talk to them about some of the things that people are talking to me about and just get some clarity on some things, because I think there's still And I mentioned this to him, having some issues with getting the word out on how things work and exactly how their process is going to play out. But I'm very interested in their recycling process, and I don't know if it's possible for us, but I would like to do a tour of their plant in Sparks. And I don't know how, if we do that on a board day, if we agendize it for the public. So I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know if the rest of the board is interested, but I think it's very interesting to see that process. They indicated that right now, if you look at the recycled plastic, everyone, there's numbers on it. And right now they have a market for anything that's numbered 1 through 3. Anything that's numbered 4 through 7, they have no market for. And there's zero market for glass, which is surprising to me. And there is a market for paper. So they're able to market about 50% of what they're taking in. They have some interesting ideas on glass. They're working to get permitted with the state EPA to allow them to use crushed glass as a percentage component in fill at their landfill. So it expands the dirt that they need to put cells of dirt and, you know, in their landfill. So it was an interesting way to do that. But bottom line is I'd like to do that tour if the rest of the board is interested, like on a board day when we have a light agenda like today. And I'll leave the details to you guys, but I'd like to see that.
I'd like to see it too. Yeah. All right. Any other?
And they mentioned that I told them it would have to be open, that the tour would have to be open to the public. They couldn't keep the public out, and he said there wouldn't be an issue with that. So,
all right.
Greg Martinelli is the guy I spoke to.
Anybody else? All right, let's take a public concluding public comment. Anybody? Going once. Looks like it's pretty empty. All right, unless there's an objection, then we'll stand adjourned until the next regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting.
I'm going to be in Vegas next week. Where is your
call? Mandalay Bay.
At what time? Do you know?
10 o'clock.
10 on Friday?